You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in studio by Kate Lochte and by Dr. Kit Wessler.
Dr. Kit Wessler is the Jesse D. Jones Endowed Professor of Geosciences at Murray State University, and we're really glad that you could take a moment for WKMS today.
Thank you. Happy to do it.
Tomorrow night, you're going to be on stage for Evenings Upstairs at the McCracken County Public Library
at 7? I think that's right.
Yep, that's right. And your topic is mounds and priests, cathedrals and popes. Was Wycliffe a Native American cathedral town in AD 1250? And it's sort of near and dear to my heart. I've heard you speak at the Jackson Purchase Historical Society, and your research is so fascinating. So I want our listeners to be sure to pack the audience. And would you give us a preview of this program?
What I'm interested in is how we understand these sites like Wycliffe, which was a Native American ceremonial and administrative center of roughly 1100 to 1350 AD. It had some kind of relationship to the largest Native American site in the country, which is Cahokia, which is up near St. Louis, which was, you know, like 100 times the size of Wycliffe. And the question about Cahokia has always been whether it's a political capital of a huge area, for example, including Wycliffe, or whether it's just kind of an overgrown village. And that argument has stalled right there for 50 years.
Among your peers?
Among the archaeologists, among the people who study Mississippian sites. And that it literally has stalled for about 50 years. And one of my questions is, what if we look at Cahokia in a different way? What if we look at it as more of a religious center and a spiritual center? What if there's a pope at Cahokia instead of a great king? How would that change how we look at Mississippian? How would it change how we understand the relationship between Wycliffe and Cahokia? So I just did a sabbatical in the spring semester. I was able to spend 3 months in Rome. And if we're looking at what if there's a pope at Cahokia, one of the things I want to do is look at what if there's a pope in Rome. Historically, we know there's a pope in Rome. But if we did not have the historical record, if we had only the archaeological record for medieval Europe, could we say there's a pope at Rome? And how would that change our understanding of medieval Europe? And how would it change our ability to compare Native American societies at the same time as medieval European societies? So really, it's kind of an arcane method theory question that is partly geared to annoying some of my colleagues who won't think outside their boxes.
But it's so interesting to all of us lay listeners to parse out the implications of thinking about Cahokia as the seat of a spiritual power. Can you address some of the maybe just imaginative maybes that have occurred to you?
Well, if you look at the history of Rome and you understand the history of the papacy, which I can't say that I fully do. I just have kind of a cursory understanding of it. The fact that the pope did not have political power except over a very small area, but had spiritual power over a very large area. The fact that the medieval church really was kind of the nervous system of the political system and the economy of medieval Europe gives me an interesting way to look at Cahokia. Maybe Cahokia had a political power over a very small area, but a spiritual power over an extremely large area. We already are beginning to understand that the Mississippian cultures, of which Cahokia is the center, have a lot of variation, a lot of linguistic variation, a lot of what we might call ethnic variation, a lot of cultural variation. But that's true of medieval Europe, too. And yet we see medieval Europe as a sort of unit the way we should be seeing Mississippian as a sort of unit. So how does that authority of the Pope work? How does that spread out from Rome? How does it create these administrative centers which become in many ways a pseudo-government in areas where other forms of government really aren't very effective? And can we compare that to what's going on in Cahokia and Wycliffe and the Mississippian sites and get a whole different perspective on the way we're looking at it?
Some racial bias comes into play in the study.
I think so. We've always had a problem comparing medieval Europe to Mississippian, even though they're at the same time, mostly because we have the historical record in medieval Europe, and that sets our understanding of it. We have only an archaeological record for medieval North America, and comparing those two things is very, very hard. So part of my question is, what if we only had the archaeological record for medieval Europe? What would we be saying about it? Could we say there's a pope in Rome? But I also think there's kind of an underlying bias there, where we just can't compare Native Americans to white people. Because there's this sort of post-North American conquest idea that Native American cultures were not able to develop in very complex ways. Archaeologically, we know that's not true, and yet we're still reluctant to make that cross-Atlantic comparison. And I think there's an underlying bias, if not racism there. It's unconscious at this point, but I think it's a lingering problem.
And this study that you're talking about is a spin-off from a part of a book that you've already published and is available at Amazon.com titled An Archaeology of Religion. Does that mean that in your future you're going to be really trying to establish the archaeological record of religious centers in Europe that you don't know about now?
I'm not quite that ambitious.
Oh, okay.
What I do want to know is what the archaeology is, how the archaeology has been done over there, and if we can separate the historical record from the archaeological record, what does the archaeological record tell us? And to a large extent, that's been one of the focuses of my whole career since graduate school. We tend to, as archaeologists, we tend to do either prehistory in North America, that's Native American archaeology, or historical archaeology, which is the archaeology of, in North America, of the people who came after Columbus. And the problem has always been that when we're dealing with literate cultures, we look at the historical documentation first and then kind of use the archaeology as illustration. What if we use the archaeological record and the historical record as equal but separate sources of information, assess each of them independently, and then try to put them together? We might find some very different things. We might have some very different perspectives on a lot of past cultures.
So you might have a different play on the Birdman at Cahokia and all of that visual imagery that goes on there.
Yes, and I have a number of colleagues who are working on that visual imagery, and they've made some interesting interpretations, some of which I don't really agree with. Some of them I don't really agree with because I've actually talked to Native Americans about it.
What do they make of it?
Well, for example, there's a motif, kind of a square-shaped motif that shows up on a lot of the ornaments and pottery in the Mississippian area. And my colleagues have interpreted that as the litter on which they carried a chief because he was so important. But the Chickasaw dancers looked at it and said, that's the path we take around the plaza when we start a dance. So to me, it's a plaza symbol and not a chief symbol.
Gosh, that's...
But in the larger question is, how do we interpret that iconography? How do we define Mississippian? And that's partly by that iconography. And if we were looking at medieval Europe medieval Christian Europe, how would we define it archaeologically? And that would be based on the distribution of churches and cathedrals and the distribution of Christian iconography. The saints, the symbols that identify individual saints. How would we look at that if we weren't filtering it through what we already know of the history of the church?
Now, that's a big question, and you're going to address it.
Well, I don't know how successfully.
Okay. Let me reiterate, because we've just touched the tip of this topic, but you can hear lots more about it. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the McCracken County Public Library, 555 Washington Street in Paducah. This is a really special evening's upstairs program with Dr. Kit Wessler. Again, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And I reiterate, Kit is the Jesse D. Jones Endowed Professor of Geosciences at Murray State University and our archaeologist of note.
Well, we have two archaeologists, but yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is WKMS. Our channels and web service are part of the educational mission of Murray State.